My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip, and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of expert information and real chats on all things pregnancy, birth, and beyond. Sometimes parenting plans take a twist, and single parent families account for around 15% of families in the UK. Solo motherhood can bring its own set of unique joys and challenges, and this week's guest found herself navigating single parenthood unexpectedly. I'm super excited to introduce Lydia Bright, perhaps best known for her reality TV career starring in The Only Way is Essex. Lydia is also single mum to her little girl, Loretta. She's a well-loved TV personality, influencer, entrepreneur, and most recently, author to her new book, Mummy and Me. So welcome, Lydia, and thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, thank you. It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to getting chatting.
I was just saying before we hit the big red record button how I found it really inspiring listening to you at an event recently and how there is such a story behind creating a child's book, which I think is something we underestimate the journey of. But before I kind of delve into why that was the case for you and how Mummy and Me came, can I ask how you first felt, Lydia, when you realised that actually you were going to be raising your daughter as a single mum? Because I'm guessing that wasn't the plan originally, right?
It wasn't the plan originally, no. And I think that I had that kind of fairy tale image in my head throughout, you know, my teenage years, that I was going to get married and buy the house with the picket fence and have my 2.4 children. So yeah, it wasn't planned. And when I did find myself in that situation, oh my gosh, I was so sad. I often say that I think that the majority of the sadness actually came from like letting go of the dream rather than the relationship, because of the relationship obviously wasn't perfect. Otherwise, you know, it would have lasted. But it was like letting go of that, you know, dream that that fairy tale that we've always envisioned our lives to be, like letting go of that. And just like the fear of just having my life kind of thrown off track. I wouldn't say I had the most magical of pregnancies, that's for sure. It was very emotional and chucking the hormones as well. I mean, that made things 100 times worse.
Oh my goodness. It's a roller coaster that is pregnancy, isn't it? Like, especially when you're then navigating, I guess almost grieving the life that you had planned and then trying to figure out, well, what on earth am I going to do now? Because I've found myself without any other choice but to find a different path.
Definitely. It was like grieving and also like heartbreak and like that loneliness, that comparison as well, like comparing myself to everyone around me, doing it as two people. Like it really wasn't the most joyous times of my life. But I think that I enjoyed motherhood so much more because I had gone through such a horrific year. So when Loretta was actually born, I think I enjoyed it so much because it was such a stark contrast to my feelings the year previously. So, you know, they always say, don't they, you have to have rain to get sunshine. And it was so that I think I had so much rain the year before Loretta was born that like the sunshine was just so much more beautiful because it was that like stark contrast.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. She was literally like the sunshine at the end of what was
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Absolute storm of a journey.
Definitely. When she was born, just everything kind of made sense. Like everything made sense. And it was, you know, I'm a massive believer in destiny, but sometimes it's really hard to see when you're going through the bad times why everything in life happens for a reason. You can't always see that. Yeah. But when she was born, oh my gosh, I was like, everything in life happens for a reason. Like she was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I also say that although this wasn't the way that I wanted it to be, I actually do think that I wouldn't have been as happy had I been with Loretta's dad doing it together than doing it solo. I actually think that it fulfilled me a lot more, and it's made me a much better person doing it by myself, which people don't always understand. But I think that having Loretta by myself, it was, I think it like fueled this determination in me. I don't think I would have followed half as many paths that I've followed had I not been a single mum. For example, the book, like chucking myself into that whole new career that I would never have probably investigated or followed had I not been a single mum. The whole book was inspired because I was a single mum. So many paths of my life, you know, were nurtured from my situation.
That makes total sense though, because I think when you're doing it in a two-parent relationship, you kind of have someone else to rely on or to have expectations of, whereas when you're on your own, you know what life you dream of having for Loretta, and so you know you're the only person that can inspire that and create that.
It's all on me, exactly. And it's like, you know, it fueled this, like, you know, I was very lucky that I went back to work when Loretta was really young and I really enjoyed it. But I think I've always been very, like, determined. But I think when I had Loretta, it, like, just it pushed me even more. Like, you know, I wanted to get a, like, forever home for us. And I also just think, like, take away, like, the, like, determination. Like, just the joy of it just being me and Loretta. Yeah. You know, like, relationships, we all know, are tough. Like, you know, they come with their ups and downs. I felt like them years that I had with Loretta when she was newborn, which were also in a very weird time because it was COVID. So it was like a weird scenario, wasn't it? Where we were locked down in our houses all the time. Mine, I just was like, we were like in this little love bubble. Like all there was goodness in this house because it was me and all the joys that come from having like a newborn baby. Life got really stripped back. There was no social expectations. It was just me getting to know my baby, getting in a routine, like falling in love with each other. And sometimes I think, gosh, I don't actually think anybody else could have slotted into that because of this intense bond that we had with each other, just us two. It was so magical. And I think that was, I think that our bond and our relationship and the magic that we had in those 2 years wouldn't have been as happy and as magical as it would if there would have been someone else there. Mm-hmm. I just loved it being us two, selfishly.
I love that. Yeah,
I didn't like hearing home with anyone.
I love that because I think motherhood really does transform you as a person, doesn't it? Like it's crazy. You're then navigating this entire new identity. And I guess having then done that at the same time as navigating what being a solo parent looks like and that identity in lockdown really stripped you back to like basics, really probably quite grounding and holistic. How do you think that solo motherhood in particular has kind of transformed Lydia as a person?
Oh, I definitely think becoming a mum has made me such a better person. I think that before Loretta, I think that I worried more and I stressed a lot more. I think that this was a thing as well that I worried a lot in my pregnancy. I think where I've always lived my life kind of in the public eye, you know, I was 18 when I did TOWIE. So it was like twice a week, my personal life was going out to 3 million people. And it's like everyone had opinions on it and people would tweet me. And I like lived a lot of my adult life being subject to people's opinions, which was fine. Mm-hmm. And I chose that life, and there was good that came from it and there was bad that came from it, but I wouldn't change it from the world. And I always say, like, there was so much more good from it than the bad. Yeah. Bad was that, yeah, I used to, my life would constantly be scrutinized. So I often felt like some of the decisions that I made in life were, I was making them based on people's opinions, because I was so used to, like, people having opinions, and that almost pushed me into certain situations and stuff. So I'd lived my life like that, and I feared people's judgments a lot, and I needed, like, approval a lot, and am I doing the right thing? And then the minute I had Loretta, I think when you become a mum, you become so certain in who you are and your choices, you don't seek people's approval. People's opinions is literally like background noise, you know, like, if I don't ask for it and you give it, I'm not listening. Like, it's... Yeah. You just become a lot more content in who you are and your choices. And I think it kind of gives you that strength to just live your life how you want to live it, like, make your own rules up. So that was, like, a massive thing. I kind of let go of all of that, you know, anxiety that maybe you get, like, fearing what other people think of you. Mm-hmm. That got lifted when I had Loretta. And then I just think they just, yeah, like, they bring so much happiness to your life, don't they? Like, you get so much joy. I almost say that when you have children, you almost get, like, a second wind of childhood, because all of these things that you did when you were young, you get to experience them all over again. I mean, I would never choose to, before Loretta, I would never choose to, like, go to the Natural History Museum, but that's something that I did when I was young and I absolutely loved it. Yeah. And now I'm doing it again with Loretta, and it's like, and you pick up, your happiness is in them, isn't it? So when they're happy, you feel it. She completed me for sure. Like, I think we all, like, look for that love, don't we? That love in a partner, which is amazing. And, you know, we all wish for that, you know, to have, like, a soulmate in terms of a partner. But really, I don't think a love will ever compare to the love that you have for your child. Like,
oh, it's just like this mother tiger comes out of you, doesn't it? From nowhere. That's this whole other different type of completely overwhelming love. And yeah, it really resonates with what you're saying.
Love the world.
It's just love magnified on, like, this other crazy protective level, isn't it? And I love that idea of you almost get another chance at childhood when you have a child, because I think one of the beauties that I've definitely experienced in motherhood is seeing the world through the eyes of a child.
Definitely.
And the things that we take for granted that to them is just like, wow, like, you know, a library to my little boy is just like a theme park. Like, it's the most incredible thing ever. Whereas we'd walk into a library like, oh, get a book off. Do you know what I mean? And to them, it's like phenomenal and excitement. And I think
their excitement makes you appreciate it more as well.
The simple things.
Yeah, like, I remember when I used to first start taking Loretta out on a bike ride, and, like, we'd go and, like, yeah, she'd look at the leaves and she'd be like, flower, flower. And, like, she'd, like, go over to the flowers and she'd get so excited and stuff. And you'd never stop to, like, look at them and really, like, take in their beauty. But their enthusiasm is infectious, isn't it? And you can't help but, like, get drawn in as well.
And their ability to be so present in that moment and that task, which, as busy adults, we are notorious, aren't we, for always thinking about, right, we need to hurry this up because I need to do this, 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 and this. And we've got this big long to-do list and we're planning what's going on tomorrow. And actually their ability to be completely present in the one thing they're doing, which I think is a really powerful lesson for us to learn as adults and as parents and to try and mimic that.
And that's what I think that we all took as well a lot from COVID times. Like, I always say, like, look, obviously, like everyone, I wish COVID never happened because of, like, the loss of life and the stress that it put and the strain it put on, like, services. But if ever it was going to happen in my lifetime, it happened at the perfect time because of the joys that came from COVID, that whole thing, like, being present in the moment, like, not having, like, social obligations to be at certain places, being stripped back. It was beautiful. Like, you know, the highlight of our days would be going for a walk around the forest. And it's like, like COVID's ended, how often do I go for a walk around my forest now? But that like stripping life back, when I have another baby, I'm going to create my own lockdown again. Like,
I love it. Lydia's lockdown.
I loved it. I loved my lockdown. And I feel like I'm going to, the next baby, maybe I won't do as long, but I definitely want to do like a month, really, like not leaving the house and not really having anyone in and not nothing, like, because it's like just you really like cherish and like enjoy all things.
Yeah, taking the pressure off, isn't it, and the expectation and everyone else's thoughts and feelings, and actually just thinking, what do we need today, and prioritizing yourself, which we rarely get to do.
Rarely do.
Now, I'd love to hear, Lydia, what some of the highs, and I know you've talked about some of these already, and then some of the lows of solo motherhood, and I guess even that pregnancy journey that you embarked on really with Loretta, what some of those look like for you?
Yeah, so I would say like the highs are, yeah, that whole magical bond. You know, we all have, of course, everyone has a bond with their child. If they've got, if they're doing it with a partner or they've got like five other kids, you all love your child. But I think when it is just two people in a house, naturally that bond is going to be so much more intensified. You know, I mean, when she becomes a teenager, if it is just still us two, I don't know if that intense bond will be enjoyable, but it's just used to. It's like you obviously have so much more time to just engage with just each other. Yeah. So, you know, that bond, I think, is definitely got to be up there. Like, and selfishly, like, I really just enjoyed having like all those moments to myself, like exclusive to myself, like the first steps, that it just felt so magical that it was just us.
Yeah.
So I think that would be, yeah, like the number one. I'd say the number two would be the negative side of things would probably be like those early age when, you know, they don't understand, and when they need you, they need you within like a minute's notice or 30 seconds notice. That's sometimes hard to juggle if there's only one person. So like, you know, when it used to come to like showering in the morning, and it's like, you know, I'd be showering and all of a sudden I hear her scream, and it's like, oh, I've got to get out of the shower, I've got all bubbles in my hair, and like, then like, oh, Joe, I'll just leave it today, I'm just gonna have to have shampoo in my hair. Like that whole, like having someone like instantly there,
just a pair of hands to help,
exactly, just to like rely on like instantaneously. I mean, I'm very lucky that that my family all live really close to me, so I've never had it like too bad, because yeah, like if for example something come up, I say, oh, mum, last minute meeting, like can you come round and get her? Like they're always, I mean, my mum and dad, they're absolutely amazing. Like they'd have a holiday booked, and I'd say, oh, mum, I've got this really big job opportunity in 2 days. Can you have Loretta for the full day? And they go, yeah, we'll come on the holiday. Like they're so
bless them.
But just having someone like instantly there, like within a second's notice, that I think in the early years was more of a challenge. I mean, now it's like she's nearly four now, so now it's like, yeah, I wouldn't need them extra.
She understands, right?
She entertains herself, you know, like if I'm having a shower, she'll just play downstairs or she can walk upstairs. But yeah, that's what I would say, like the negative, the hardest bit, yeah, at the beginning probably. And just the thing is with me, it's very hard because I think if I had have experienced it as a two-person thing and then I'd done it as a solo parent, then I think that maybe I would be able to list off a lot more, because of I'd be able to compare it. Where I've only ever done it this way, for me, that's just totally normal. And I think if I was to do it then again with someone else, then I would be like, oh my gosh, this is so much easier. But for me, I don't know any different. For me, it's like, this is the way. And I think actually I'd probably struggle doing it with someone else because I've been so used to having full control.
And that independence, you're not used to relying on anyone. So you'd be like, you're in the way almost. I can do this.
I think I'd find it quite weird, you know, like being like having somebody else to do a night feed and things like that, because I've never had that.
I'm sure you'd learn to embrace the extra sleep there.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd enjoy putting my feet up.
Might take a bit of time, but I reckon you could adapt.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be pretty easy sitting a few night feeds out. Yeah.
Now, what I would love to understand a bit more about, Lydia, after hearing you talk about your book, Mummy and Me, why did you decide to write a book on single motherhood? Because it sounds like you kind of had a lot on your plate, right? And as someone who's written a book, I completely understand how intense it is. Why did you decide this was the perfect time to delve into that?
So, I mean, I've always been one of these people that, like, I've got a lot of energy, so I always have to have, like, a lot of things going on. And when I was pregnant with Loretta, you know, I knew that I'd have to cut back a little bit. So I had a fashion business and I ended up selling that just before Loretta was born, just to free up a little bit more time. And then I was pregnant and I was like, oh, I need to be doing something else. Before she was born, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I wanted to do in like another little project. Then I found myself ordering loads of books off Amazon when I was pregnant, that like were single parent family books. And what I say loads, there wasn't a great deal out there. And when they arrived, a lot of them were more targeted to like older children. And I just didn't really feel like they were very engaging. And I just thought, do you know what? I feel like I want to create something that would be a magical story that represents a single parent family, but it's not a single parent family book. It's just a lovely story that like children can read and enjoy and pick up every single night and like love the adventure and love the magic. But it just represents a single parent family, and it's not a super informative, super factual book. I just felt like there wasn't really anything out there. And I decided on the elephants because children love, but I know when I was younger, my favorite books were like The Hungry Caterpillar, Where the Wild Things Are, The Gruffalo, like all of these, you know, like animals or creatures. So I wanted to have a creature or an animal. The elephants were decided because I realized that all elephants in the wild are single mums.
That's such an amazing fact. I love that.
All elephants are single mums, so the men are solitude, so they impregnate the women and then leave before
they go.
So I became like obsessed with elephants when I was pregnant, and even in my house now there's like elephant candlesticks. Loretta's got an elephant toy box, like there's elephants everywhere. So that's where the elephants came from. And then the book just changed so much, like over the years, like that first draft that I wrote, you know, from the first draft to now, the evolvement is crazy. Like there were so many other there were so many other families that were in the book. Also, I don't feel like it was as magical because then when Loretta was born, as I said, I felt like all that like sadness kind of went away. Yeah. And then the story just kind of started like mirroring us. So, you know, Loretta, my daughter, is like so energetic, so feral. You know, if there's the highest slide, if she can do it and there's no height restrictions, she'll be up there like chucking herself down to earth. I'm like, no, don't like doing anything too scary. And also as well, like, I'm just a mum that like sometimes gets tired and I've got a kid with so much energy. And I'm like, right, let's just sit down. So I feel like the story, a lot of parents can relate to it because the mum just like wants to relax and go on a beach and the kid wants to like go on a pirate ship, crazy adventure. So the story just ended up kind of like mirroring our sort of personalities and just mirroring kind of like the ups and downs of motherhood. Like it's filled with like magic and adventure, chaos. There's just kind of like a hidden sort of story that a hidden sort of moral that represents a single parent family and just shows that it doesn't matter what size the family is, love is at the heart of every family and that's all that matters. That's kind of where it was born and where it ended up. And yeah, I'm so proud of what we've created. It's a beautiful story and I feel like it's being really well perceived. And when I announced that was doing it, like you said, that it was such a large proportion of the UK, it's 15% of families are single parent families. A majority of them are women. I think it's over 80% of that 15% is women. And as soon as I announced it, yeah, it was like all these mums just writing to me, like, thank goodness, like, there's finally a story out there that's just representative of children, so children can see themselves reflected in books. But also as well, it's not just for single parent families as well. I think it's super important that all children, you know, we're trying to raise the next generation to be better than our generation. You know, we want our next generation to be even more inclusive than we are, and to accept people no matter what race, what religion, what sex. You know, we're all doing like as much groundwork as we can, and this book is that as well, because children are accepting of people and situations when they're exposed to it. So it isn't just for single parent families, it's for all families, so that children can just see what other family setups are like, just to normalize it and make people more inclusive humans.
You're so right, because I think we've all got a responsibility of parents, haven't we? Like, regardless of what our setup looks like, to make sure our children understand what different setups look like, you know, whether that's same-sex families or single parent families or whatever that might look like. That's the reality of their friends that they're going to be playing with at nursery and at school. And it's really important that that's normalised.
Exactly. Normalising just not their normal. Like, that's so it.
So such an important message. The other thing that I have to mention that I love about your book is, as a mum of a small person, we all know when your child has got a favourite book, you read it 1,000 times a day. So what's lovely, I think, about Mummy and Me is that it's a nice story for the parent to read as well, because it's almost got two messages there. For the child, it's this like beautiful adventure book, which we know they love and they engage in. But then it's got that nice undertone for that relatability for the parent reading it as well, which I think is really unique and really lovely, and something that you've done so, so well in that book, so that when you are reading it for the 12th time of the day, it's actually a joy still for both of you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was really important, like, totally that. And even like I've put like a letter, my first page is like a dear reader letter, and it's like a message for like any single mums that are reading the books, and like celebrating them and empowering them. And it's so that like story time should be enjoyable for the child and for the parent, and it's such a magical part of mine and Loretta's day, because it's that kind of like focus, you know, turning off like all your screens and just having that like 20-30 minutes of just like engaging with each other and like talking and stuff. And it was really important that I made it something that was enjoyable and relatable for mums as well. And like, there's a few little moments there that I hope that like all mums can relate to, like, all you just want is a cup of tea sometimes. That makes me really happy that you've kind of noticed that, because I did want that.
Inspirational.
I have to read some of You Choose Fairy Tales. Oh my God, have you got the You Choose Fairy Tale book?
No, because we're a boy family, so there's a lot of dinosaurs. The Gruffalo is an obsession. Yeah. So we're very like lots of roaring and lion stomping and dinosaur hunts.
You Choose Fairy Tales, I think I've had to do every single day, I'd probably say, for about 2 years now. The only good thing about that book as well is that they can change the story the whole time, but sometimes, so you basically you'll read a part, and then they choose a character, and then they choose what the character does, and then they choose the adventure. They change the story the whole time, but sometimes my daughter's imagination will just go off, so it's like then I have to hear about like how the lion had a baby, and then the baby is that. Then the story, which should be like a 5-minute story, ends up taking an hour because the imagination
has gone wild.
Yeah, and the story ends. It's like, oh, pick a bedtime story or make one up instead. Oh my gosh, if she chooses to make one up instead,
that's a whole other story gone.
It's a whole other 10 minutes onto bedtime.
Oh, I love it. Their imaginations are beautiful, though, aren't they? And you know, it really is inspiring that you've gone through, you know, arguably one of the hardest times of your life, but out of that, what you've done is help others on that journey. And I think that's something that you should be super, super proud of, because, you know, that is an inspiration. There'll be so many single parents, single mums that read that book and just feel like a sense of that loneliness is being resolved. Actually, someone else on this journey with me and normalizing that setup in a family, which I think is so important in the year of 2024.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And it's that whole like, look, it was a hard time, but I'm very much like, you have to be in the mindset that like, everything, like I said, everything in life happens for a reason. And I just think that we aren't all meant to live our lives the same way. And I think it's just that acceptance, isn't it? It's like, look, breakups are hard. Of course they are. Like, I'm not the first person this is going to happen to. I won't be the last. But it's actually then just, look, have your sadness. And that's completely valid. And, you know, all the emotions are completely, you know, valid to you at that time. But realizing that there's so much beauty that can come from being a single parent as well. So, you know, just letting go of that sadness and just embracing like the journey. Because I speak about it so positively. I wouldn't change it for the world. Like this,
love that.
I honestly believe this was always, it was always meant to be this way with me and Larissa. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
We can live like elephants too, right?
Exactly. Live like elephants.
Now, Lydia, everyone that comes on the podcast, I asked to leave us with three top tips. So naturally, I wondered if you could share three top tips to any single mums listening that you wish someone would have told you when you were navigating your journey to start with.
I would probably say, I think if you're finding yourself like newly becoming a single parent, I would say my three tips are find your village. I mean, this is important for single mums and all, like, and two parent families.
Yeah.
Everybody, because it's so important that you find your village, and your village can, and it's so cliche, you know, it takes a village, but it is like the cliche ones are the ones that are true. They've been being said for years.
Yeah.
But you can't do it all by yourself. Like, you can't. Like, it is as much as you try and you put yourself under enormous pressure to do it all yourself, like, you can't. Like, it's hard, it's too hard to juggle it all. So it's important for the child to have that connection with other people. So find your village, whatever that looks like. You know, my village is like, my mum and dad are absolutely amazing. Like, childcare, friends, family, that's like number one. Like, find your village and don't feel like embarrassed to reach out and ask for help if you're struggling.
Yeah.
That would be my number one. My number two would be just see the joys that would come from it. You know, like, as I said, like, emotions are completely valid. And when you do find yourself, look, I went through it when I found myself facing single motherhood, like, oh my gosh, I cried. So every single day when I was pregnant, and that's completely valid. You have to go through that. Like, you have to go through that stage. It's like, take out of account, you know, being pregnant. Heartbreak is a really hard thing to go through. And like breakdowns of relationships. It's like, for me, like, I actually think that my breakups in my life have probably been the hardest things that I've ever gone through. Mm. So, you know, those emotions are totally valid, but it's not going to rain forever. And I think, home in on the positives that can come from your new role, like, because there are so many goods to come from it. And thirdly, I would say, just try and ensure that your child feels represented. So, you know, be really open and like, speaking about it, and you know, whether that's doing it through books, explaining like the situation through books, and just explaining like family setups, like, not even, as we said, like, inclusiveness with families. Like, there's another really great book that's called My Family, Your Family by Laura, I can't think of her surname now, but My Family, Your Family. And it's another amazing book that just explains family setup. So it's just normalizing it, and for your child, and just explaining, every family, because I think, especially if you've got a young child, like, Loretta's the only child in her class that's parents don't live together. You know, that's not going to be the case forever. Unfortunately, one in three marriages end in divorce, but it normally happens with children when they're a little bit older. So it's just like normalizing and letting children see representation. I would say that's my number three.
Oh, I love that, Lydia. Thank you so much. And if you are thinking, yes, that book is one that you need to add to you and your child's collection, then do head to the episode description where you'll find a link to Lydia's wonderful book, Mummy and Me. Thank you so much, Lydia.
Thank you so much, Pip. That was a lovely, lovely chat.
Before I head off, I need to tell you something. 68% of you who listen to my show have not hit the subscribe button. So can you do me a favour? And if you've ever enjoyed listening, hit subscribe now. It makes a huge difference, helping me to keep bringing you episodes. And together, we can then reach and empower more women on this journey. If you are a pregnant or newly postpartum listener and are looking to have the healthiest, most positive and informed journey, then my exclusive Your Pregnancy and Your Postnatal Journey courses may be for you. I work with a select number of women in a bespoke way, with unlimited access to me and my expert team, for the most transformative level of support at this important time in your life. We only get one shot at getting this time right. So to get in touch and find out more, head to midwifepip.com.